But if you've got your place tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 16, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
Look with me in verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons. If you will tonight, I'd like to speak to you on a simple thought. The traits of a king. The traits of a king. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, God, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your love and your mercy. God, and your marvelous, wonderful grace. Father, we pray even now, God, that you'll move amongst us tonight. God, that if there's one here tonight that needs some help, God, that they'll find that. God, and if there's one tonight that needs a healing, God, that they'll find that. And God, I pray right now, God, that you'll give us the faith to believe that you are capable, God, of taking care of our needs. You're capable of going above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think. God, and we love you tonight. We pray that you bless the reading of your word. Father, we pray even now, God, that you'll fill me up, and I might pour into someone here. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. And the church said. A few things I want to point out to you as we look at this. We've heard the story about David, and we've heard the story about Samuel coming down to the house of Jesse and anointing David as king. But I want to share with you something tonight, and it's just a few things I wrote down. We know the difference between Saul and David was that Saul was appointed by the people, and David was anointed by God. Do we know why Saul became king? Because the people of God were no longer satisfied living under the ruling of God. That's the truth. They wanted to be like everybody else. They said, we want to be like the other nations who have a king. When God is the king tonight, can you shout a big amen right there?
Amen.
I believe that. I believe that he's a God today that still reigns as king. But I want you to understand this, and I want you to picture with me tonight as we try and endeavor into this story. We find this, that Saul did many great things, but here Saul has been rejected by God. We find this in verse number 1. God speaks to Samuel. He says, why are you mourning over Saul, seeing I have rejected him? Said, get your act together and go down to the house of Jesse and fill your horn up with oil, for there's a king down there I want you to anoint. And we find here that sometimes the things we want is not what God wants to give us. Sometimes the things we need aren't the things we want. Smile at me real big. I want to read a few verses down in verse number 2. The Bible says, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely God's anointed is before him. Now, we just said, let me say this. Sometimes the person it looks like they fit the bill best ain't the one that God wants. Because And my granddaddy said this, and I'm sure many others have said this, but God doesn't necessarily call the qualified, but he always qualifies the call. Amen? And I want you to notice here in verse number 7, the Bible says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel," pay attention, "look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth." Ain't you glad of that? Watch this. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." And then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" Watch this now. And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him. For we," watch this, "will not sit down till he come hither." Let me just tell you something. I believe that this is telling us something here. That we don't need to sit down and be lazy while we're waiting on the king. Listen, all the sons of Jesse had passed before Samuel. This was it, 7 of them. And he looks at Jesse and he says, "Jesse," he said, "is this all you've got?" He said, "I've got one more." He said, "He's out there in the field and he's taking care of the sheep." And Samuel said, "Send and fetch him, for we ain't going to sit down until he comes." Because there was no need of looking at him. There was no need for questioning him, because all the other sons had passed before him. He knew that this one that was to come would be the king. Oh, my God, listen. I don't want to be found sitting when the king comes. I don't want to be found lazy when the king comes. I want to be standing ready at attention when the king comes. Ain't you glad of that? Won't you agree with the man of God tonight? I want you to pay attention here. And the Bible says, "And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he." I want you to look with me and put on your imagination cap for a minute. And I want you to, let's look at the traits of the king. Number one tonight, I believe the king is a provider. You say, "Preacher, do you have scripture to back that up?" Yes, I do. Watch this. Psalms 23, anybody know that scripture? The Bible says in verse number 1, "The Lord is my who? My shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Did you notice that part where he said, "He leads me beside the still waters"? Watch this. He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." That ain't just mediocre grass. That's good grass. Amen. That's what some of us might say, rolling in high cotton. watch now. Not only that, but he says, he prepares a table for me in the very presence of mine enemies. Can you imagine God just spreading out a table, and your enemies are encamped about you, and you're sitting down and you're just chowing down, and all the enemy can do is watch you eat. Oh, son, ain't you glad that you have a provider tonight? There's been many times in my life when it didn't look like we would have enough money to pay the bills, or maybe we were coming slim on meeting the bills. But I'm telling you tonight that God has always provided in my life, and God has always made a way when there seemed to be no other way. I want you to understand tonight that the King that we serve, he is a provider. How many of you can say tonight that God provided for you when pickings was slim? God provided with you when nobody else would give you anything. When there wasn't no food in the pantry, seemed like God sent an angel your way. Put a little peanut butter back in there and a loaf of bread. You had enough to make it to the next day. Because he's a provider. Listen, you might not have everything you want, but praise God, you'll always have everything you need. I want you to, hey, look at me. I'm going to move fast, okay? I'm not even going to tell you how many points we got. You might get discouraged. But I believe, secondly, he's protective. Now, we're still looking at David as well. And I believe that David provided for his flock. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I know for a fact that David protected his flock. So, preacher, how do you know that? Well, when you get in Samuel chapter 17, the Bible tells us David begins to explain to Saul about how he slayed the bear and how he slayed the lion when they came and tried to invade his flock, and he protected his flock. But it was the Lord. It was the Lord tonight who was with him. Watch this. Psalms 91 verse 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." We talked about that word keep and what it means in context, and it literally means to hold. I'm glad that he'll sometimes just come down and hold you. He'll come down to you and he'll hold you. And I'm reminded of what David said in Psalms 40. He said, "I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall sit in fear and shall trust in him." But I'm glad tonight that he'll come to exactly where I'm at, Brother Jackie. So how do you know that? Well, when I look at that word, he brought me, that tells me that he went to exactly where I was at, Brother Robert. But he didn't stay there with me. Said he brought me out. He's not going to sit and whine with you. He's not going to sit and sulk with you. He'll come to you, but he's going to take you out of the mess you got yourself in. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you tonight that he is protective, but I want you to understand tonight, and would you look with me in Psalms chapter 121, verse 1 through 8. Listen now. "I will lift mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee, there's that word again, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Ain't you glad of that? The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thine coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Ain't you glad tonight that we've got a God and we've got a King that is protective of his people? I'm glad tonight that when you look at the shepherd, you'll find the King. When you look at the shepherd, you'll find the qualities of a King. Look and watch me with me. I'm not done tonight. I'm just getting started. Some of you's getting a little mad. It's okay. I got you here now. You look like a hypocrite if you get up and walk out before I'm done. He's passionate. I believe he's a passionate God. I believe he's a passionate shepherd. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You say, preacher, how passionate was he for me? Well, you see, some 2,000 years ago, Brother Robert, there was a little boy who was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that. See, that little boy grew up to be the Son of God. And that little boy grew up into a man. And his own people, the people he came to save, the people he came into, rejected him. Watch this. Because he was not what they wanted. He didn't come in on a white horse, and he didn't break the eastern sky, and he didn't come in as king. He came in as a lowly manger. He came in humble and approachable. Ain't you glad that our God is approachable? But this is the thing. He's coming again. And this time he will come as king. Praise be unto God. The Bible tells us that we will fight sin for the last time. And praise God, I'm glad that that day, after the tribulation has already taken place, that day when Jesus comes back to fight sin for the very last time, I'll be on the winning side. Ain't you glad of that tonight? I'll be behind him as we ride in to fight sin for the last time, going in fighting on every hand. And praise God, we will prevail because he's never lost before. So why start today? Praise God, as we look and we see, I believe that he is a God that is passionate for his people. I believe that not just anybody decides to have their only begotten son sacrificed for people who might not ever choose him. He paid for your sin debt. There are people in today's time who have rejected the love of God, but it was already paid for. It was already paid for in their life. All they had to do was accept it. They didn't have to do anything to earn it. They didn't have to do anything to pay for it. All they had to do was accept it. It had done been paid for. And this is the thing that breaks my heart. is that God was so passionate and God loved us so greatly that he sent his only son to die for those who would never choose him, but they had a choice. Oh my God, would you get a hold of that tonight? I'm telling you, there are some who will never choose him, but they had a choice. He loved them enough to give them a choice. He'll never force his love on you. But I'm glad today that I know what it feels like. And I'm glad today to know that his love can encapsulate you and wrap you up and to feel the passionate love of Jesus Christ and the passionate love of God himself. And to know that he loves me like I'm his only child. But as we move forward, I'm going to try and be quick tonight. I want you to notice, fourthly tonight, I believe he's patient. How many of you remember the story of the lost sheep? Jesus told the parable in the New Testament of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And one thing that's common about every single one of those parables, the main topic of all three is a love for that which was lost. The woman would light a candle and sweep her house until she found that coin that she lost. And that shepherd would leave the 99 and go out and search for that lost sheep. And the father would wait diligently at the end of the road for his son to return home, hoping and praying that one day he would turn the corner. And I believe that's what God's doing. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for those who are going to turn the corner. And then they'll see him and they'll run to him. They'll fall on his neck. And they'll say, I'm not worthy. And he won't hear them. Because it's already been paid for. It was never on you to begin with. It don't matter if you're worthy or unworthy. None of us was worthy. Praise God, that's why he had to die. That's why he paid for our sin. And praise God, today I have the gift of life because he chose me. Ain't you glad of that? But I believe tonight that he's patient. I believe that that father was patient. I believe that that father standing at the end of that road, right there near his house, was patient in waiting for his son to return. I believe that that shepherd that went and looked for that 99 that had probably strayed before had been patient with that lamb and would go and look for that lamb once again. Oh, my God, get a hold of that. I said he would go look for him once again. And praise God, that woman, she would sweep the house and she wouldn't get irritated because that what she lost, she loved it. And she would search for it patiently, hoping and turning over everything in the house to find that what she's lost. I believe tonight that a trait of the king is his patience. Look at this. Psalms 86 verse 15 says, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. I'm glad tonight that he's long-suffering. Say, preacher, what does that mean for me and my family? That means that you and your family still got a chance. Because he's long-suffering. You say, preacher, I just don't know if his grace is great enough to pay for my sins. Oh, you don't have to worry about that because it's already been paid for. Just go on to accept the gift tonight. I'm telling you, as you look and you see his patience and his long-suffering, it boggles my mind why God would continue to love somebody who spits in his face and who beat his back and who pierced his side and who drove the nails through his hands. And I believe, and I love that song, and I can't remember who sings it, but I love that song that says, I'm doing this for you. As they're nailing him in the hands, and he's thinking in his mind, I'm doing this for you. I'm paying your sin debt. It's nothing I did. I don't know anything. But I've taken on your tab. And I'm doing this for you. I'm glad tonight that he's patient. Aren't you? Number five, I believe he's possessive. I don't believe that he just let his flock or one of his sheep just run off in somebody else's flock. You believe that? See, God himself might never chase you down, but his Holy Spirit will be on your back like white on rice. The Holy Spirit of God will convict you and convict you and convict you until he finally converts you. On the road to Damascus, Paul was going to persecute yet another church. And here comes the light of the Lord. Shine down on him, Brother Robert. And this is what God said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And on that day, that very day, he got down a murderer and got up a live agent for the church of Christ. The church that he was on his way to persecute. Oh, woo, son. Can you imagine him walking into church one Sunday to deliver the message? And these people knew who he was. They knew that Saul of Tarsus, they knew that he was the one who persecuted the church of Christ. Can you imagine the gasp and the fear that entered in the heart of man? But when they finally found out about what God did for him, I'm sure there were some skeptics in the crowd, as there always is, who says, I don't know if I believe it yet. And I don't know if I believe God's just done something that great in his life. But God did, and God can tonight. And I'm here to tell you tonight that he is possessive. And he is patient with his people. Read with me. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible says, For the Lord thy God is an all-consuming fire, even a jealous God. Do you believe he's a jealous God tonight? Say, preacher, I just don't know if he is. Well, I tell you what. You go on and flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And you read it for yourself if you don't believe me. And I tell you what I'd love for you to do. Don't take my word for it anyway. Just go on over there and study it for yourself. Amen. Amen, preacher. I'm telling you that he's a jealous God. He's jealous of his people. He's jealous of the time you give somewhere else instead of giving time to him. He's jealous of the time you spend outside of his pasture. Because it looks greener somewhere else. And it looks easier and more fun over there. He's jealous of you. I told a story not too long ago about this little boy. He had made a boat with his hands, little boat. When he had got it finished, he went down to the lake and set that boat out to sail. And the wind picked up, it was a little sailboat, and it started to get away from him. The little boy went to go pull in the rope to pull the boat in. And the rope broke. And the boat goes down the stream. The boy's chasing the boat, but he can't catch it because the current's hardly caught it. It's gone. Boy's all down and out, goes home. Walking down Main Street a couple days later and sees his boat in a secondhand shop. runs in and tells the owner, he says, "That's my boat. That's my boat." He said, "Well, son, somebody brought it in this morning. You'll have to pay for it." He went home and got everything he had, all his money, broke his piggy bank. He come back to that store owner and laid all his money out and said, "This, is this enough?" And he said, "Yeah, that's enough." He took that boat and walked out of that secondhand shop with a big old smile on his face, looked down at that boat and said, "You're twice mine. I made you, and now I bought you." Ain't she? I'm twice his. He made me, then he bought me. Woo! Talk about a love for something that wasn't worth nothing. Brother Adrian, I ain't worth nothing. But he thought I was enough to make and buy. He saw me on a shelf somewhere and said, "He's mine." And the owner said, "You have to buy him." And he said, he walked me out the store and said, "You're twice mine." Ain't you glad tonight that he left you enough to pay for you? And he left you enough to cast your sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. My granddaddy said that God takes your sin and throws it in the sea of forgetfulness and puts up a no fishing sign. Lastly tonight, smile at me real big. I believe that he's present. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" If you study a shepherd, you'll find this, that when they lay down at night, they put him in the corral. Back in those days, they didn't have no swinging door, no latch. But what the shepherd would do was lay down in the gap. Ain't you glad tonight that there was a man that came and filled the gap? Listen, I believe he's an ever-present God. I believe that these are just some of the traits of our King. I believe he's passionate. I believe tonight he's patient. But as we look at his presence, watch this. Psalms 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Matthew 28, verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I'm glad tonight that I don't have to walk alone. I'm glad tonight that he's my King and reigns forevermore. He's my King to worship and adore. Oh, I dearly love him. There is none above him. Wonderful is he, the mighty King of glory. I'm telling you tonight that these are just a few of the traits of the King. You say, "Preacher, what is the purpose in this?" Listen, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you may be faced with. But I've told you enough here tonight to help you. And I've showed you here enough tonight just what God showed me to encourage you. And I showed you enough here tonight to help you understand that in a time of need and in a time of trouble, God will be present with you, and God will protect you. We read in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Ain't you glad of that tonight? That when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's right there walking behind me. And when some decides to step out or jump out in the dark, I believe that God just stomps his feet and lets them know that he is in the presence of his child. I'm telling you tonight, I was reading and I can't remember exactly where it is, but the Bible says, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. Ain't you glad? And I want you to understand this, that he said, when you pass through the water, I will walk with you. He didn't say, I would carry you over the water. He said, when you pass through the water, I'll be with you, Brother Jackie. I'll walk with you. Then he begins to comfort his people and says that when it looks like the water's going to overtake thee, don't even worry about it because it ain't. Ain't you glad that he's a God that will be with you and a God that will comfort you? These are the traits of our King. And as we find here tonight, in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, I believe that every man that passed before Samuel in that day had the stature and had the look of a king, but lacked the qualities thereof. When people saw Jesus walking through the streets, the Bible teaches us in such a way that he had on clothes just like anybody else. It wasn't his looks that stood out. And it wasn't who his mama and daddy was on this earth that stood him out. But it was his qualities that made him stand out. You say, preacher, what had he done? Well, when he was a little boy, turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana. Then he went on to heal the sick, healed the blinded eye, healed the lame man. Found himself in the temple about the Father's business. I'm telling you, if some people in the house of God would find themselves in a place where they just want to be about the Father's business, we would have a better church. I'm telling you, we'd have fire in the pulpit if we had prayer in the pews. Somebody shout a big amen right there. I'm telling you tonight that it is the qualities that stand out. Taylor, if you had to look a certain way to make it into heaven, I probably wouldn't make it. If you had to look a certain way to be used of God, I probably wouldn't be able to be used. But I take comfort in the fact of what God told Samuel. Look not on his outward appearance. Neither look on his stature. For God seeth not as man seeth. But God looketh on the inside. You look at some of your lives tonight and think where you would be if God didn't look on the inside. And I'll tell you, the problem with the church today is some of us look on the outside before we even consider what's on the inside. And that's not the way he taught us to be. Taught us to be like he is. But I take joy in the fact, and I can comfort in the traits of the King. Brother Donald, I can look over this and I can know without a shadow of a doubt that It doesn't matter, Alan, what I face in my life. One of these traits is going to show up and take care of me. One of the qualities of the king are going to show up and carry me through. That present help, that very present help in trouble will be there. And I'm telling you tonight that I believe God wants to show us every bit what he can do in our life. Your greatest ability is availability. Say, preacher, I can't do much. Just make yourself available. Say, preacher, I don't have a whole lot. Just use what you got. He'll take care of the rest. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight,